together this morning. Let's begin. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? The Bible says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Joe Louis. How many have ever heard of Joe Louis, boxing champion? He was the world heavyweight champion from 1937 until he retired in 1949. In 1946, the champ prepared to defend his title against an up-and-coming fighter named Billy Kahn. And you have to remember, back in those days, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have TV, they didn't even see movies much. So boxing was the biggest thing going on, mostly around the country at the time, as far as what to go see. But Louis was warned to watch out for Kahn's great speed and his tactic of darting in to attack and then moving quickly out of his opponent's range. During the buildup of the Louis and Kahn fight, he was asked, Will you chase him if he runs backwards? And this prompted the champion to respond with the now famous line, He can run, but he can't hide. Louis won the bout by knocking out his opponent in the eighth round. Hiding. The Bible says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. We wanted to examine that this morning. Is it worth it to hide something? You know, we may not show everything to each other, and in fact, that's a good thing. But we cannot keep things from God if we try. We're going to discover that, and why. Notice something interesting as well. The Bible says it was the time of the day for sweet fellowship. And here's what it says. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It was time to gather together in fellowship with the Lord. They chose to hide. Let's take a look at this morning. The title this morning, if you're taking notes, simply Hiding from God. Hiding from God. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us before we go any further this morning. Lord, help us to see what you see. Some things we may know that we're trying to keep away from you. And other things, Lord, maybe we've put them aside so much that they just don't bother us anymore. We've become hard to them. Now, God, I pray, would you show us who we are personally with you? Lord, we ask that you'd guide and direct us as we look in the scriptures. Help us, Father, to see not only if there's something that needs to change in a Christian walk, but whether there is a need to be a Christian at all. Lord, that our soul would be knit together with the family of God. You can do all those things today, Lord. You can change our life today. And help us to be willing to let you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hiding from God. Again, verse number 9. Let's take a look there in Genesis 3 here. You know the story here, Adam and Eve, God's first created people on earth. And they were given a great privilege, a privilege that nobody else since then has had, and that is to live in a perfect world, a world without sin. And yet they disobeyed God's command. And here we find in Genesis 3, God's judgment on that sin. But he gives them an opportunity to tell the truth, to say, here's what happened, and even respond to his voice. But we want to look here in verse number 9. The Bible says again, And the Lord God called and said unto him, Where art thou? Some, here's the first thought I want to share with you this morning. Some attempt hiding at the time of God's inspection. Some attempt hiding at the time of God's inspection. You know, you can't get out of the eyes of the detective of the Lord's eyes. God is ever seeking the heart and soul of mankind. Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Jesus came to earth seeking the lost that they would be saved. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, we find Jesus, as often he did, he was traveling through the land. Now he was going through Jericho in Luke 19, had a crowd around him as he usually did. And there was one particular visitor in Jericho that he went to go see. It was the one guy nobody else in Jericho wanted to see. Anybody remember his name? They call him Zacchaeus in the Bible. And he was a short man. The Bible says one of the obvious things about him was that he was short in stature. And Jesus went to his house. Jesus called him to salvation. And Zacchaeus put his faith in Christ. And he strived to live for the Lord. But take a look at verse number 10. That's the story we're looking at. But I want to focus on verse number 10. Let me start with verse 8, actually. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us God is ever seeking the heart and soul of mankind. And he searches the heart, Scripture tells us. He seeks us out, and he sent Christ to provide an answer for our sin. Conviction of sin is evidence of God seeking our heart. That there's something in there that we can understand. There's a right and there's a wrong, and I'm doing the wrong as I sense the guilt and conviction. But God is not limited what he can use to reach out to us. Certainly he has sent us his son. He has sent us the Bible. Amen. We have the word of God. They say the average household has more than two or three. And I'm talking about households that don't go to church, have Bibles in them all across this land in America. And yet, as great as the Bible is, God can use it in any day, at any time, as we open the scriptures. He can use trials. He can use trials. Difficult days that come along. Personal trials, financial trials. Things don't always turn out the way that we had planned. He also uses preachers of the gospel. What an amazing thing, amen. In fact, he says it's the foolishness of preaching that he wants to use, and yet men can ridicule that. And he can use the caring and love of friends who strive to draw us to Christ. How many have a friend that they know that person always wants me to do what's right for the Lord? You got a friend like that. If you don't have a friend like that, come and see me. I need a friend like that, and I want to be a friend like that to you, because we need folks like that who remind us that, hey, we're here for Christ, not for anybody else. Though God can use us in the lives of others, we're here for him. God is ever seeking the heart and soul of mankind. But hiding from God, listen to this, is impossible. It's impossible. Would you turn to Psalm 139? Psalm 139. And the whole chapter deals with this, about God's seeing and his eyes and his ability to know where everything we do is. But I just want to look at the first four verses. And here's what it says in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my what? Thought afar off. Thou compassest my path with my lying and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Folks, before you send that text, before you push that button that puts the message up on your social media account, God knew it before you were going to say it. And it can't be hidden whether you take it down or not. He knows what's going on in here. He knows everything about us. And to think that we can run away or hide it from him is foolish, because it is impossible to do. And by the way, just because he sees it doesn't mean he's just observing. That's where the conviction comes in. Are you sure that's the way you want to word that? Are you sure that's the way you want to relate that and communicate it? Are you sure that's the place you want to go? Are you sure with Jesus in mind, that's the way you should behave? Folks, we can hide from each other a lot of things, but we are never going to be able to hide from God. The God who sees all, but he also is active in the hearts of men. Some attempt hiding at the time of God's inspection. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Take a look again at verse number 9. Again, the Bible says, and the Lord God called unto Adam. Some attempt hiding, number 2, at the time of invitation. At the time of invitation. Though God inspects and searches and sees, now he says, let's do something about this. Let's have a response. Would you come to me with it? Some attempt hiding at the time of God's invitation. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord invites all to receive salvation from sin. Everybody, everybody. The worst of the worst, the best of the best. The Bible tells us all have that invitation from God. Sadly, not all will come. Would you go to John chapter 5 with me? And here we see Jesus and some of his nemesis that would follow him around and try to cause trouble for him. In fact, the Bible says they tried to catch Jesus in his words to accuse him of, but they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. But here in John chapter 5, he was speaking to those that were around him that were typically opposed to him, Jews, the Bible says, certain Jews and Pharisees and scribes and so forth. But take a look at John chapter 5. Here we want to look at verse number 39. Verse number 39. These were people who knew the scriptures. They had them in their hands. God gave it to them by inspiration of men of God and the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 39. It says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Now the sad verse. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You know, the invitation is open to all, friends. To all our family, our friends, to our enemies. Can I tell you what's going to change China and Iran and Russia? What's going to change those government officials' heart? It's not going to be the military force of the United States. It's not going to be all the policies that we can come up with that we can all agree on so we don't start firing away at each other. What's going to change those nations? Jesus Christ alone will change those nations. Jesus Christ alone will change your family and you. We can have all the different things around us change, but without Jesus Christ, it's to naught. There's an eternity still awaiting if we reject him. Friend, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has given you an invitation to be saved. You do not want to be part of verse number 40. Verse number 40 tells us, you will not come to me. Jesus was telling us that he tells us in other parts of scripture, there is a consequence to rejecting him. The first consequence is death. We all experience it. This last week, we had a dear friend of our church family. He experienced it. Death is something that visits us all because of sin in this world and the effects of it on our life. But there is another death. The Bible says, following this life and after that death, we don't cease to exist. We don't turn into some kind of cosmic dust and somehow make it out there and become something else. No, the scriptures are pretty clear. And in our own heart, we understand there is something after this life. God's put it in us to know. And he says in his word, the answer is Jesus Christ. But without him, the first place the Bible talks about we would go is a place called hell, a holding place, the Bible calls it. Hades, a holding place, and waiting for the day, the second death, the day of judgment at the great white throne. We're going to look at that in just a bit. But that sadly is what awaits if I choose to refuse Christ. But thankfully, anyone who comes to Jesus receives eternal life. There's no doubt about it. And Jesus said it over and over again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And friends, as in good a shape as you might be, it pales in comparison to the life that Jesus has for us when we see him face to face. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. No aches and pains. No troubles. No, yeah, we'll have good eyesight for once, you know. The heart will beat exactly the way it should. All these things will be perfect in the body that God has waiting for those who know him as Savior. But not only that, not just to have an eternity in a great body, but to have the presence of God, our Creator and our Savior, and to love him every moment, not for 1,000 years, not for 1,000,000 years, for eternity, the Bible says. And that is available to anybody who receives Jesus as Savior. Do you know him? Do you know him today? He invites you to receive his salvation from sin. The Lord invites all believers, by the way, all believers, to put their burdens on him. Matthew 11, verse 28. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 11. Let's take a look at verse number 28. He invites all who have accepted Christ to continue a life that relies on Jesus, that relies on the Lord. Put your burdens on him. He says he can handle them. Let's see what it says. Verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Your burden is not light, is it? Your burden with your families or other situations in life, health perhaps, the future, finances. These are burdens that are not easy for mankind to take care of. But we try to hide behind them a lot. We try to hide behind them a lot. We try to tell God, well, listen, I'm just got these other things going on. What are some things, what are some trees we might hide? The Bible says Adam and Eve, they hid amongst the trees. What are some trees in life that might we put before God? How about busy schedules? Or there's just too much going on. I can't meet with you today. Lord, we've got this happening and we just can't go and meet with the people of God. We just can't get with you today. I'm busy. How about hurt feelings? If you've lived any length of time in this life, you've been hurt by someone. You're not the only one. But let me tell you something. God says, listen, put that on me. Put that burden on me. Jesus said, I can handle it. Yes. The way you're handling it isn't working, but I can handle it. Setbacks. How many ever planned something and it didn't quite go the way you planned? Most of us, I guess. Some setbacks can take years to get back on track. But you know what Jesus said? Put your burdens on me. That doesn't mean he says, don't do anything about it. Just say, Jesus is in charge. No, when he tells you, here's how I want you to handle it. Here's how I want you to move and decide. Then obey. Amen. Obey. But he does say, these are things we can choose to hide behind instead of let God have them. A good example of this is in Luke chapter 14. Would you go there with me? There's a parable Jesus shared that fits this very clearly, I think, or very, very much. Luke chapter 14, going to look at verse 16 and following. The principle here applies to what we're looking at here this morning, that the Lord invites us, but yet we still can come up with all kinds of reasons and hear excuses that we choose not to do that. I want to look at verse number 16 and down to verse 23. Here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. All the honored guests aren't coming. Well, let's get everybody in here as we can. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And notice this phrase, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Wow. By the way, in those times, who lived out in the highways and hedges? Who did you find out there? People you didn't want to find. They called them highwaymen, highwaymen. We call them today robbers, criminals. People who didn't, weren't the best of society. And yet Jesus says, my invitation is to all. My invitation is to all. But you must receive it. You must. The Lord invites all believers to put burdens on him. Is there burdens that you have taken from him and tried to take care of yourself? You know, the Bible's final invitation is to come to Christ. Would you go to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, and take a look at verse 17. Verse 17, would you read it with me, please? Let's read Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, my friend, as the invitation is given, don't put it aside. Don't reject it. Receive it. And follow through with it. Accept what Jesus has done. Some attempt hiding at the time of God's inspection. Some attempt hiding at the time of God's invitation. And some will attempt hiding at the time of God's indignation. Indignation. Verse number 10, if we go back to Genesis chapter 3. Would you go there, please? Let's take a look at verse 10 and 11. What happened? Immediately after this. Again, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? You know, God is still God. Amen. God is still God, and sin will still be dealt with. If we receive Christ, the curse of sin that we deserve to pay has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. His shed blood covered that cost for you and me. But you must receive him. And as you did, that curse is taken care of. But if not, God says there is an indignation to deal with in the future. There will be a day that the Lamb who sacrificed himself, who shed his blood for you and me, there will be a day of the Lamb's wrath. The Bible, we call it the tribulation period. The Bible calls it a time of tribulation, etc. But here in Revelation chapter 6, we read about this. Very interesting. Would you go there with me, please? Much of God's wrath for sin will be brought on to the world through various judgments and ways that will be brought in. One of them One of them will be earthquakes and other disasters. They will cause great fear in men. There's going to be political and geological horrors that they'll have to deal with as they go through this in life. Here's the timeline. Today, praise God, we're in the day of God's grace, or the church age. Scripture shows us that there's going to be a time when that age comes to a close. Who decides when that comes to a close? Not me and not you. And by the way, not all the prophets out there who tell us it's going to happen in September or whatever, in the next wars, etc. God decides. God decides. And you can take it up with him if you disagree. But the Bible tells us that God will decide one day to send his son back to receive those who accepted him. You see, the blessing of being a Christian and accepting Christ is that you don't have to go through all that. That's one of the blessings that Jesus provides. He will come in the air, the Bible says, and he will call his saints to be with him. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You know that friend, relative, that person you know who knew Christ, and they're not here anymore, they'll go first. They'll go first. Wow, what an exciting thing. Then we which are alive and remain, the Bible says, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And we'll see Jesus and we'll meet face to face, and it'll be a great day. From that moment forward is a time of tribulation in the world. Horrible time. Horrible time. And one example that we see in Revelation 6. Take a look at verse number 15 with me. Here's what it says in Revelation 6. Again, this is on the earth. It's a future event. Here's what it says. Let me start with verse number 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and an island were moved out of their places. What does that sound like? Earthquakes, or even greater. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from, listen to this, the wrath of the Lamb. Notice the word Lamb. That's talking about Jesus. It can be no other. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There will be a day of the Lamb's wrath. We don't want to be here for it. We enjoy the time of the Lamb's blessing today. Yes. And the benefits. But if I continue to refuse, and by God's grace, I continue to live, this is what I have to look forward to on earth. And by the way, even in that time, and I believe there are some that say this is not possible, but I believe it's true. Even during that tribulation time, you can turn to the Lord. His salvation is still available. His grace will still be available. In fact, that's why all that judgment and wrath will be brought upon mankind, to show them this is how horrible sin really is. There will be a day of the Father's judgment as well. If you're in Revelation, go to chapter 20. As I mentioned earlier, this brings the final judgment on mankind who rejects Christ. Take a look at verse 14 and 15 with me, please. I'm in Revelation chapter 20. There will be a day of the Father's judgment. Again, this is those who have not accepted the Lord as their Savior. Verse 14, here's what it says. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In verse 11, he calls it the great white throne where the heavenly Father sits. In verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know how you get your name in that book? Accept Christ. Accept Christ. Accept what he did and have the record awaiting. But if not, the Bible says, the Father's judgment awaits me if I choose not. And Christian friend, can I tell you, as blessed as the Christian life is, there is going to be a time of judgment for you too. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians 5. There will be a day believers stand before Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, take a look at verse number 10, please. And verse 11. Here's what it says. For we must all appear. He's writing to the church. He's writing to those who have a profession of faith. And he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore what? The terror. Whoa. I thought Jesus loved us. But he's still God. Amen. He's still God. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, he addresses the same event, but adds a little bit more information. 1 Corinthians 3. Again, he's speaking to those who have professed Christ, have a faith in him. The Bible says they'll stand before Jesus. We'll all stand and answer for the things that have been good. And what does he say? Good or bad in this life. Verse 13, and I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take a look, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Christian friend, I'm thankful that Paul added that last part into the scripture, aren't you? He says, we're going to be judged. We're going to stand before Christ. You'll be saved. The everlasting life is intact, won't be taken away. But anything that we've done on this world, even if we claimed it's for Jesus, he'll know the truth. The Bible says what is good will pass on, gold, silver, precious stones, he says, but what is bad, what is worthless, what does not have any eternal value that we've done here, wood, hay, and stubble burned so as by fire. Those things won't go in and glorify God at all in any shape or form. Yes. We can't hide from God. No. We're not going to be able to hide from Jesus. And by the way, if you want to, you're in trouble already. But we can hide in him. Colossians chapter 3. Let's close with this. Colossians chapter 3. We can't hide from God, but we can hide in him. Colossians 3, I'm going to look at verse number 1. Through 3, I'm going to ask you to read those with me. They are such precious verses today. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in Colossians 3. Would you read these with me, please? In verses 1 through 3, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hid with Christ. Hid with Christ. Not hide from him. Hide in him. What is it might be that you're hiding from him? God says, listen, I can see it already. I can see it already. Don't you know the very thoughts, the words before they even come out, all those things? By the way, if social media is how you operate your character, stop hiding it from God. Let God take care of it. Let God change it. And we don't need social media to have wrong in our life. God still wants to see us bring things to him. Is this a time of inspection for you? Has God put his whispered in your heart and mind, I see this, would you bring it to me? The time of invitation. The time of indignation is when the consequences of what we keep from him find their way back to us. Sometimes they're very serious. Most of the time, not so much. But at the very least, they break fellowship with God. And friends, the truth of the matter is, if we go back to Genesis, that's what Adam and Eve did. It says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Don't go through this world without God's fellowship. And when we do, when we break it, God says, listen, come to me. I can bear that burden. Come to me. Sin can be confessed and forgiven. Misunderstanding and unknowing of the future can be directed by the Lord's hand. God has great things in store for us in 2026, right? 2026. Did you know he can still revive his church in 2026? But he says, listen, before we get there, it's time to come clean. Yes. Heavenly Father, would you show us what you see? Not what we want others to see, but what you see. And help us to be honest with you. Even today, dear Lord, even today, right here. Perhaps there's a need for salvation. Perhaps there's a need as a Christian simply to lay the burden that we've been trying to carry, right or wrong. But we've been trying to carry it and bring it to you. Lord, would you show us how we can hide in Christ instead of hide from him? Yes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you, and I'll just ask by a show of hands, and we try not to embarrass anybody, but I'd like to pray alongside you. Are you here this morning? Would you say, Pastor, please pray for me. There is a burden that I know God wants me to give to him. You may not have any idea what it is, but God and I know. Would you pray for me? I want to leave that in his hands today. Please remember me. Yes. Amen. 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 Please remember me. As you close, would you pray? I'll hand that over to him. Let him take care of it. He's got the shoulders that can take care of that. One more question, and then I'll close. Perhaps you're here this morning and hoping to hide from the indignation, hoping to hide from what God says is the consequence of turning Jesus away. But God's showing you that's not the right thing. That's the best thing is to accept him. And you want to do that. You want Christ to be your Savior today. May I pray for you about that? Again, I don't mention names and no one's looking around, so we'll not embarrass anybody. But maybe you're here this morning and God's spoken to you and said, I want you in my family. Would you receive my son? Are you here this morning and say, Pastor, that's what I want to do. I want to be saved and born again and have that new family and not have anything to hide anymore from God, but have a new life in him. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Here's my hand. Please remember me. There's no one looking except me, and I'll not point anybody out. But I'd like to pray if that's the case. My prayer can't save you, my friend. But I can tell you, or we can have someone show you in Scripture, how you can walk out of this place with a new life in Jesus. Anybody like that? That's my need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Now please use this time of invitation, that we might bring these things to you and see you take care of them, starting by sealing it with prayer. May you get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you please stand with me if you're able? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing. When she begins to play, would you take that moment to respond to the Lord? You can do it in prayer. You can step out to the front. Some do that. But whatever the Lord has for you, would you respond to him as he says, listen, let's not put that aside anymore. Come to me and let me handle that, whatever it might be, that burden.